What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 238. This episode is, of course, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
I'm just like getting used to all this new stuff we got going on. We got the intro video now. We got like this different background. I was like, wait, what's different? And well, I mean, obviously I'll let you go over that, but no, just ready to podcast. Just been,
So we've been using StreamYard for a while now. That's what we're using to do our live stream here. And you know, we only put it out to YouTube, but we figured, you know, we want to get a little bit more interaction and talk to more of you guys. So we decided to upgrade our StreamYard package. And now we're going out to Facebook as well as Twitter or Periscope. So we're live on everything pretty much besides Twitch. I think we still should keep Twitch to gaming. I think you would agree.
Yeah. And well, since we're Twitch affiliates, our content that goes streamed live there has to be exclusive for 24 hours. So we would be breaking our agreement if we
stream
there. To all those at the same time. So yeah, I agree though. Gaming.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. We could do stuff like have that cool intro video that's like built into here. You can see that we have the Think Computers logo up there in the corner as well. So I'm pretty pumped. I made that intro earlier today. So hopefully you guys did enjoy that. That allows us to put like everything out on social media, which I'm looking right now to see if it put out it did put out a Periscope thing on Twitter. Yeah, so okay. It's all good there.
Nice.
So we're live. Like I said, appreciate everybody who's coming in here for the live stream. Now this is a long form podcast or long form stream, which means we're going to be streaming for at least an hour talking about all things tech. Now for everybody who's maybe in the live stream who wants to listen later, we also have an audio version of our podcast, which will come out. You can see it on the website. It goes to iTunes, it goes everywhere. So if you have to kind of leave the live stream and you have to go do something, you can always come back and get the audio content. And of course, you can always come back and rewatch these streams on YouTube as well. It's another week of tech. Anything new going on with you? I saw you showed me your little RGB setup that you did.
Yeah, you shipped over those. What are they? The Corsair i100? Is that what they were?
I forget.
Those lights. So you shipped over those Corsair, you know, kind of ambient light pole stick things. And I was trying to figure out what to do with them because I wanted them like in the background, and you can kind of see them reflecting off of the side here. And maybe later I'll move the camera. But yeah, I kind of did a weekend project where I put like a floating shelf on the wall, and I took that 15-inch portable monitor that we talked about last week. And it's crazy because the base of those Corsair lights fit like perfectly in the depth of that shelf. I mean, it couldn't be more perfect. Nice. And so they fit, and then the monitor fits perfectly in between them. So they're like all just kind of floating up there and hooked up to a secondary computer that's in here. And I had to drill some holes and like reinforce the wall to make sure it could hold it. But I think it looks neat.
Nice.
Kind of cool.
Nice. Yeah. I love doing just like little projects. I haven't done enough around here. I did go to IKEA recently. I bought more. You can see them, or I always mess this up, but you can see them back there. Like more tabletops.
I
always
they're so cheap. Them.
They're well. I get the longer ones for like the wider
they're
shots.
A little more.
They're $22.99. So I bought.
But I think the smallest one I've seen it for like $7 before.
Yeah, the small one is I think $7.99 or $8.99, but the bigger ones are like $22. But I bought three of them, so three different color options when it comes to shooting video and product shots. So
yeah,
that was my
tech IKEA is like 3 hours away. So,
ours is like 20-25 minutes. But that was my tech for the week. I really didn't do much about anything else. And I did actually buy a lamp, which you can kind of see there. That lamp. So I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. It was on Amazon. It didn't come with a bulb. I was just ordering really quickly, but I was like, wait, where's the bulb in this thing? Because the picture
most lamps come with bulbs. I haven't bought a lamp like at Target or anywhere forever, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it had a picture with the bulb, so I was.
Oh, okay.
That was my tech fail for the week as well. But let's get into, of course, more interesting things than what we did this past week. If you guys want to go ahead and follow along with us with everything that we're going to be talking about tonight, we have our full show notes page that is live on the website that has all of the reviews, all the news, and everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So you guys can go ahead and follow along with us. But we'll start with reviews this week. And we took a look at a case that came out a little while ago, and it kind of made a lot of headlines. And I finally got my hands on it, and I was actually, I had a lot of fun doing this build. And I always get scared when it comes to mini ITX, because it's like, is this going to fit? Is that going to fit? Typically, when it comes to mini ITX, it's a bitch, like cable routing and connecting something. And then if you forget to connect like a cable on your motherboard, you have to rip everything out of the case. So I took a look at the Fractile Design Era ITX. And this is kind of Fractile's take on, I guess you would say, like a higher end kind of mini ITX case and a very small form factor. So this is only 16 liters. So to put that in perspective, a normal mid tower case is 24 liters. So something this much, it's incredibly small case, tiny actually. And they've done what they've done with a lot of their other cases. So you actually, because like I said, most mini ITX cases are kind of on the cheaper side. This thing is so nice. It's made with, you have all aluminum paneling around it, which I'm not sure if you might, if you're going to be a fan of the gold. I know some people might not like the gold, but they do offer it in a really awesome dark blue and black. And I think they offer it in
a blue.
Yeah.
I do like the gold though. I think it looks really cool. I wasn't a fan of it like the first time I saw it, but it has definitely grown on me.
It does look a lot better in person than it does in pictures. But then you have a tempered glass top panel. On some of the versions, I think the white version of the case, you can actually get a wood top as well. So this is kind of like more elegant, kind of, you know, it's not your typical ITX case, I would say that. So you have that Fractile Design quality that we're used to seeing, which is really, really nice. If you've ever owned one of their cases, or in our case, reviewed one of their cases, you know you have a quality case there. And let me go to the inside, because that kind of will show you guys just a little bit more of just how small it is. So here's like the inside of the case with everything taken out. And you can see there's not a whole lot of room. You just have this little bit here, which is for your, of course, mini ITX motherboard. Your power supply will go over here, and I'll show you where the storage goes. And so here's...
Is that a 92 millimeter fan?
That is an
80. There's an 80.
Is an 80.
Wow.
It's very, very small, but it's actually very quiet, surprisingly. Okay. So when you get the case, it kind of ships like this. And what's really cool about this case, I think, is that it supports both SFX and ATX power supplies. Most mini ITX systems do not. This does, and it gives you the option for both. So this bracket right here, this is for the SFX power supply, and it has extra room for storage. This bracket up here is for your ATX power supply, and it supports full ATX, which again, for something this small, you don't typically see. And what they've done is they include this power adapter or extension cable, so you can actually have a normal power coming out of the back of your case. It's very well designed internally. You have ventilation at the bottom, ventilation at the top. They actually include not only that tempered glass panel, but they include a ventilated panel or a mesh panel. So you can kind of pick if you want high airflow or you want that cool kind of look. And as far as installation goes, it was not all that hard, honestly. For an ITX case, I did have more than enough room. Most of the components are modular, meaning that you can install them outside the case and then put them back in. So, nice. You know, installed my motherboard, no problem. My cable, my cabling mess.
It's kind of a mess until you get it taken care of.
Yeah, so, you know, you had to kind of... My suggestion is connect everything on your motherboard before you do anything else, because you will forget and then you will have to take components out. And they do have one thing that was interesting is that they do have a USB 3.2 Gen 2 Type-C connection. A lot of new motherboards, especially in the Mini ITX, still don't have this connection. They use an older, the longer header. So that was kind of weird for me. And our B550 motherboard did actually not support that. Graphics card installation is pretty simple. We did run into an issue though. Lengthwise, you can fit pretty much like a reference NVIDIA graphics card. But widthwise is a little weird because this MSI card, which is a 5600 XT, their gaming X card, after I installed it, connected my power, I wasn't able to close the side panel, which is weird because it's actually a little bit wider than a typical, say like NVIDIA or AMD reference card. So that's something that's not listed on their website, which I was a little confused because the length is, you know, they give you the length and they say it needs to be a two slot card. But
yeah, you never hear about the width typically.
Yeah. So that was a little that, and then I had to pull everything out, you know, and put in another graphics card. So I put in a Gigabyte graphics card, which is 2060 Super, put that in there, no problem, and was able to connect it. Now, the thing about graphics cards is that one, you want an aftermarket card. Well, you want an aftermarket AMD card for sure. You don't want a blower style fan or, you know, blower in this. You want something with two fans because you have no other cooling on the bottom of this case. The case actually does support two 120 on the bottom, but if you install a graphics card, you can't use them.
Yeah.
So, and you want to make sure that your card is like, I think the most you're going to get is like 2.2 slot, like a 2.5 slot won't fit in this. So it has to really be a two slot card. There's not a lot of room left under here. But with everything kind of connected, you know, you connect your power supply, you can see how that extension cable goes in and you kind of mount it in there. There's everything before we put in the storage. Again, not a whole lot of room for cable routing as well. There's no kind of like, you know, we hide everything typically behind the back panel. There's no really way to do that. So one, I would highly recommend using a modular power supply. Two, you really need, like, you got to be diligent about kind of your cabling.
And I mean, like that's even with a modular power supply, right?
Yes.
It's tight.
Yeah, it's very, very tight. Sure. And then your storage, there's a storage panel that supports two 2.5 inch drives and one or one 3.5 inch drive. And, you know, that goes in and you're ready to go. Installation honestly wasn't all that hard. And for a mini ITX or ITX case, that is really great because I've done a lot of these and a lot of times they're really not a whole lot of fun. You just close everything back up and you're good to go. Temperatures, we did some temperature testing. It does get hot. It gets really hot. We use the stock AMD cooler, the Wraith Prism. Yep. And it got hot. There's just not enough cooling, I would say, for a stock cooler. Aftermarket coolers, sure. I've read reviews where some aftermarket coolers get in the way of that back fan. Also, we can't install something like our, you know, like a Noctua. Too tall. You can only supports up to 120 millimeter or... Yeah, 120 as far as height on a CPU cooler. Most bigger CPU coolers are at least 140, if not 160. So you're not going to, on air cooling, you're not going to do it. Now, what I saw a lot of people do is they get a 240 millimeter AIO, and that kind of solves all of the problems. I would highly recommend doing that just for the fact that that's kind of what you have to do with this case. We didn't test it with that. We just tested it with air cooling. You could run it with air cooling. It's going to get hot when you game and it's going to, you know, I would not.
Especially if you have that glass top on there.
Yeah. So there was about like a 3 or 4 degree difference using glass and mesh. But I do think it's a good case. I think that if you like the quality of Fractal Design, like we know their quality, this case continues that quality. It's easy to build in. There are some restrictions, but of course, if you're doing ITX and you want a 16 liter, if you want 16 liter case, you kind of know you're going to have some type of restrictions, but you still can get a full ATX power supply in there. You can get a reference 2080 Ti in there. You can, you know, we did a B550 motherboard in there too. I mean, and you can fit a 240 millimeter AIO, which solves the cooling problem of your CPU. So it has a lot. It does have the USB 3.2 Gen 2 on the front. It looks really cool. All the color options you have are really good. It's the gold one is $139.99, which again, you might think is kind of high, but for all the quality. And again, if you look at all these ITX kits that you can buy out there, they're much more expensive than this.
They're more expensive. And then you got to put them together a lot of times.
Yeah. So I think this is really well done. I only gave it an 8 just for the fact of one, the graphics card width was not listed in there, you know, and if I'm a consumer, I say, okay, it has to be this long. So I just buy a graphics card that's that, you know, that long, and then I get it. And then I can have that issue. The results that we got with the air cooling were not the best. So that's something to consider. And then it is hard to organize your cables. There's just not a whole lot of room. But again, you do get into that when it comes to ITX motherboards. So that's, again, just something to think about. But I do think it's a good case if you're looking for ITX. It is one of the, again, if you're not going to go with one of these kits or whatever, it's one of the best, I would say, ITX cases out there. Cool. So definitely check out our review on that. And then I took a look at these guys, which I'll try to bring up here without dropping them. this memory right here. So this is the Patriot Viper 4 Blackout edition. So this is a new edition that they brought out. The Viper 4 DDR4 memory has actually been out since 2015, surprisingly. And what they've done is kind of just done an all blacked out version of it with new speeds and timings and everything like that. But the cool thing I really like about these is that this black color will fit any build. Literally any motherboard these are going to fit into, which I really like. It's just, you know, and when these first came out in 2015, they had a green PCB. So this is the all blacked out. So you have all black, even the,
Yeah, the Viper text on there is black, which is nice as well.
You can see the Viper right there. I mean,
now is that stripped down the middle kind of a gunmetal color? Or is it just kind of the,
no, it's all black.
It's all black. Okay.
Yeah. The whole thing is black. Cool. It's just, yeah, they're awesome. So, and they're non-RGB. So for the longest time, there was, you know, memory, high performance memory that was non-RGB, or that was RGB. You couldn't get a high performance memory kit that was not RGB for the longest time.
Right.
Now we have these. It's a good kit. It is a 3600 megahertz kit, 64 gigabyte kit. So these are 16 gigabyte DIMMs. Running at timings of
it's a 64 gig kit, it's 232s.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Yep. Nope. I
can do math. I can do math.
All right.
But yeah. 264
would work as well, but you know.
Yeah. 232 gig DIMMs. And they run great. You know, XMP profile works. We ran this on an AMD system, no problem getting it to run at the XMP profile. We ran it on B550 motherboard. Just some really nice looking memory. And I was able to overclock it as well. So I was actually able to bring this up to 3800 megahertz without touching anything. No voltage bump, no timings, nothing. Now, surprisingly, I was not able to get any higher than that, even bumping the voltage from 1.35 to 1.45. Wasn't able to get any higher. It booted higher, but it wasn't stable when it ran through our test. But I think you could run these at 3800 megahertz, like literally no problem. And I just like all blacked out look. I mean, again,
yeah, looks good.
I love the all blacked out look. It's going to fit any motherboard. I should show you guys the picture.
I mean, those are perfect sticks to like go in that case you just looked at, because there's no window on that case. So, or if you just want that aesthetic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a motherboard that we'll be reviewing next week, and it just goes right in, no problem. Mm-hmm. And they look good. Like I said, it just kind of just goes together there. So yeah, like I said, really good kit. Not much bad you can really say about them. They run at their advertised speeds. overclocking isn't the best, but it's not bad either. You know what I mean? So yeah, I believe I gave these either a 9 or a 10. I'm pretty sure I gave them a 10.
Give it a 10.
A 10. Yeah, and a recommended award. So just a, awesome. Just some good memory. You can't go wrong with these. They also have a lifetime warranty as well. So like most memory these days. So you buy them, you don't have to worry about anything. And again, any this is like, I would say these are upgrade proof because, again, unless you're buying like an all white motherboard, these are going to look good in your build no matter what. So, yeah, check out that review. Again, it will be on the website. So, cool. So yeah, that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we feature a case mod or build that has been completed in the community. And this week we have a build called Orange Frog. Which is done inside the what is this case called? This is the John's Bow Mod 3 all white case, kind of like with orange coolant. That's what probably was called orange frost. yeah, look, I mean, I love the case, it's one of those kind of open air chassis that kind of looks like a motorcycle, sort of. Yeah. Just good. I like the colors. I like, you know, we have all white everything, white LED lights, which I think is kind of perfect for it. And then you have the white cabling and all of that. And I really like this res mid plate, whatever you want to call that.
One of the white LED is like that. It's a pure white. It's not like that mix of RGB. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It gives kind of the bluish. Yeah, this is super cool.
Yeah, whatever this. I don't know if this is custom made or it's actually made for that case.
It looks like it's angled at the top there, so I would say it's probably made for that case.
Yeah, or they custom made it, but like you could do the pumps right there as well. That's really one of the cool things about this build, and you can see it here. Oh, what is that logo? I don't know what that logo is.
Is that the Bixby logo?
Maybe. I don't know. But it does have you see that? This model number. So maybe it is actually made for that case. So yeah, I think this one's really cool. This was done by, I'm not going to try to say his name.
Yeah, that's the Bixby.
Zab. Can you?
Logo.
Can you say his name? Zalpertons? I can't say the name. Hang on, let me pull it up. Because
Nope.
Yeah, you can't say it either. But we have a link to his Facebook page where you can go ahead and check it out. And then it does have that really cool CPU block, which I don't think there's that one picture of it. The CPU block that has the temperature readout built in right here.
On page one.
Yeah. You can go ahead and see that. How do you say that? Bixby. Yeah. They're mainly like in the Asian region, so we don't really see that stuff that much for sale here in the United States. But they make some really cool stuff, and this is a really cool block that that has the temperature and all that stuff built in. It's really cool. So definitely check this build out. We will have we always have every week. We have a case mod. Every Friday, of course, why we call it Case Mod Friday. So if you want some inspiration for a build that you're doing, or you kind of just want to see what's possible with computer components, you can just go to articles and then Case Mod Friday. And we have a ton, probably. How many do you think we have total?
Oh, man, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you think of how many years you've been doing the podcast, and you probably have one for that. I mean,
52 weeks in a year.
Right. You have, I don't know, hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds. So we have a ton, guys. So if you want some type of inspiration or want to see what's possible or just kind of see what people are doing these days with computer components, go ahead and check out the Case Mod Friday section on the site. And there's like 1 or 2 days left on our contest with Patriot. So we're giving away 2 of their Viper VPN 100s. That is their M.2 solid state drives. We're giving away 2 of these. There's just over 6,000 entries. Super easy to enter. We do it through Gleam. So and there's 13 different ways. So you can get up to 13 or 14 actually different entries, maybe more than that, because some of the entries are worth more points. But you guys can, and if you refer your friends, you get more points and all that kind of stuff. But there's only 2 days left, guys. So if you want to get your entry in. And of course, we'll be having another contest after this one. But this is a really good one. And we actually have 2 prizes to give away. So I'm pretty excited about that. And what is next on the agenda here? We have news. So the big news last week was NVIDIA.
Yeah, 3000 series.
That was our whole show last week. That was our entire show. And while we don't have like a counter yet from AMD, and we kind of were wondering, they did announce that they will, they're calling it Red October. In October, we will have announcements for Zen 3, which will be Ryzen 4000 series. And then we will also will have on October 28th, AMD RDNA 2, or what we expect to be Big Navi announcement.
Okay, so announcement, not releases, right?
Not that we know of. Not if they're just going to announce it and be like, it's available now. Like, you can buy it today. That would be cool. That's never happened. I don't know. I think that a lot of people were saying that for on the graphics card side, like, Big Navi was supposed to compete against the 2080 Ti.
I know.
And now, like, it's going to compete against the 2070 or 2060 or 3070 and 3060.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. They took their time, obviously. They're going to lose out either way, unless they have like crazy performance, because you release it to compete against the 20 series and then NVIDIA just brings out the 3000 series, or they've already brought out the 3000 series and you can't keep up with it. So that's rough.
What, in your opinion, what do you think we'll hear on October 28th? What do you think? Give me your best bet on what it would be. What would you bet that it would be?
As far as what GPU it'll be, or what, like, or specs, like, what do you
like? What specs?
I don't expect it to compete with like the 3080, because I think they're just too far behind, right? And I don't think that's where they were setting their bar to compete. I don't know. I see it competing maybe against the, I want to say 3070, but I just feel like that's even too high of a bar to compete against. As far as specs, I don't know. I could see them still topping out at like 8 gigs. I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see what it would be. That is, I mean, at that point, NVIDIA's cards will be out. Well, 2070, they said October, right?
Yeah.
Or 3070, sorry.
Yeah.
They said October. So, yeah, I mean, that's a while to wait to see, you know. Yep. And how many people are gonna jump and get these 28 or 3080s and 3070s before that? You know what I mean?
Right. We got a lot of comments in the chat. I don't know if you have the
comments up
if you want to bring any in.
So David is in the chat from Facebook. He said he got his Radeon, so kind of points for me to upgrade. Maybe I'll wait to throw out a TI version of 3070 or 3080 later on. And he says we need to see raw power, not RTX DLSS.
I think we will see raw power.
Yeah, I did read NVIDIA did like an AMA on Reddit, and I did read people asked that specific question, like, is this performance, the 3070 performance better than the 2080 Ti? Is that with DLSS turned on, or is it just with, you know, the games that don't support that, is that actually, they're like, it's both. Like, so I think we will see the performance that they said that we're going to get, but I'm not sure. Adriano from our YouTube, he said he sold his 2080 Super for $600. Whew. He's aiming to buy a 3080. Unfortunately, all of them seem to be 3 slot or thicker. Says ITX case can't fit that. I think you will see some two slaughter smaller version cards. I think a lot of the companies are highlighting their flagship,
the flagship, like, big beefy coolers. Yeah.
Once this rolls out, you should see some smaller versions, at least two slot, maybe 2.2 slot or something like that, that could possibly fit in your ITX case. But yeah, I'm actually excited for, like, Ryzen. Like, this whole, everybody thinks is talking about graphics cards. Like, I'm pretty excited about Ryzen 4000 series.
I would be more excited. I think I said this last show, but I was like, I'd be more excited if I didn't just buy a 3000 series last fall, right? Like, I mean, I guess it's coming up on almost a year. Time flies, especially the last 6 to 9 months. But no, I'll be excited to see what they come out with for sure. And I think we'll talk about that a little more coming up.
Yeah,
I think one of our new stories is about that.
Yeah, there was some more leaks on Ryzen 4000 series. One, that there's going to be at least a 10 core in the offering, which means that it will compete with the 10900K, which kind of makes sense. Again, Ryzen 3000 series, we went all the way up to 16 core. So 10 core is not much of a difference. There's a new feature, at least according to this person on Twitter, is that there'll be a curve optimizer, which will allow you to configure the boost of the processor. And you'll be able to customize the frequency for each core without any restrictions. So that is something that Intel did on theirs, which you'd have your per core overclock. So you could actually set it per core what each core goes to. Looks like AMD will be doing that. This curve optimizer seems like something that might be pretty cool.
I feel like we've kind of had that already, like, depending on the cooling you can provide, right? Like, but I don't know. It'll be cool to have the individual customization.
I know AMD did have that. What was that called? Precision Boost?
Precision Boost.
And then the third thing is Infinity Fabric Dividers. That is, we can get memory controller frequency slightly higher in mixed mode. Again, this is just Twitter stuff, but I think that AMD, their biggest thing, at least in my opinion, is, like, they've crushed CPU. Like, they've done such a good job on CPU stuff. They just have it. And it seems like with each generation, they're always bringing stuff. They're not just like, it's faster, it supports like Gen 4. It's like, you have this now, and you have this now, and you have this now. You might not even use it, but we're doing this for, you know, we're doing this for overclockers, we're doing this for enthusiasts, we're doing this for gamers, we're doing this for the average person. Like, they're always adding more and doing more.
Yeah, they're actually valuable additions that they're giving, you know, and almost some of that's almost future, you know, just extending the life cycle, the PCI 4.0 especially, right? Like, most people don't take advantage of that, but, you know, you got the CPU now, in a couple of years, if they're still supporting that socket and 4.0 is totally mainstream, you've got a chip that's going to support it. So
love it. So that leak came right before this announcement, so it does seem like, what was that, October 8th, we will get an announcement, at least on something, for Ryzen 4000 series. So I'm pretty excited for that. Of course, that means new motherboards. I love.
Which you love.
I love the motherboard guy. I love new motherboards. So that's going to be pretty exciting. But that was kind of like the AMD thing. At least, like, we, for a while there, we were hearing all this stuff about Big Navi, and then it kind of, like, went away.
Dropped. For
5 months or something like that. Like, it just went away. We didn't hear anything. And of course, we got all this NVIDIA news. And we knew that AMD would have something. And I guess this is, they're going to be.
Yeah, Lisa, too, has kind of talked about that. So that we would see something.
She did say that. Was that on an investor call? I believe she said that. That you would see Big Navi. Exactly.
Right. Sometime in 2020. Yep.
Yeah. David said, are there new motherboards? There probably will
be. I mean, there will be, but
yeah, there will be.
Right now, no. X570s are.
Yeah, X570, B550 are kind of the current gen right now. And then we'll move over to RTX stuff, just because there's so much more news this week still. It looks like there might be some supply issues with RTX 3000 series GPUs. Limited supply until 2021. This makes complete sense. One, everybody wants one because of the performance or supposed performance jump. Two is that obviously we've been going through a global pandemic and there's supply chain issues. There's all that kind of stuff. So I think this story, we're going to see it. I think that I still don't think NVIDIA is doing pre-orders at all on the RTX 3000 series. I didn't check their website recently. I think I set up all the alerts as well, so I didn't get an email from them to buy one. So I think there's only going to be a limited amount, especially of the reference cards, the NVIDIA Founders Edition cards. Other cards, you might see a little bit more inventory, but it's going to be kind of tough. So when you do see them available for sale, if you want one, I would buy it that day because you're not going to see a whole lot.
Yeah. I feel like this is so true with like every graphics card launch, though. Everything always feels limited. Like, stuff's never available in the quantities that you would expect.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think this year is a little bit different.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's... So like I said, if you see a 3000 series card available for sale, Amazon, Newegg, wherever you buy your computer hardware, buy. If you get the alert from NVIDIA that's available on their website,
if you're in the market for it, buy it.
Yeah, I guess. If you're in the market, yeah. Don't just buy it, just buy it. But yeah, so we do have some performance, some real performance results showing a RTX 3080 running Doom Eternal at 4K at over 100 FPS.
Yep.
I'll play
some. I watched this the other day. It's pretty cool.
Let's try to go through all this. Well, I can't full screen it because it won't.
Yeah,
it
will full screen on my.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys can go in the article and see this. I mean, it's running at over 100 FPS in 4K. That's only the 3080.
Right. I mean, is the 3090 going to hit 200 FPS there? Because they were almost 150 for a second.
This isn't the most taxing game, but it's still a decently taxing game. So that is, I mean, I'm pretty excited. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah.
Impressive performance, yeah, for sure. I mean, again, like I said last week, wait till the reviews come out and, you know, lots of people get their hands on them to see what exactly the real performance is across multiple platforms and, you know, titles and everything. But yeah, from what we've seen so far, very impressed.
Yeah, very impressed with this. And again, just like Ryan said, I would just wait till the reviews come out if that's something that you really, you know, think you want to spend the money on. But I think that the 3000 series is going to be where a lot of people upgrade. It's just going to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Talking about AMD and what they're going to be doing, a lot of people have been saying that NVIDIA is just waiting for, you know, RTX 3070, RTX 30, you know, possible 3060 could be coming down the pipe. And that's to kind of, go against whatever AMD has at the time. And I think the biggest thing with AMD has always done with their GPUs is their price to performance or a certain price point. They're the best card in that price point. Just like I've always said, the RX 5700 XT, when it launched, I think was it $499 or $399? It was the best card for that money at the time. You could buy more expensive cards that would perform better, but at the time when it launched, it was, if you wanted to spend exactly that much money, that would be the best card for you. And they've done that throughout, you know, the 56, 55. They all met a certain price point. That is the whole reason why NVIDIA released like supers and things like that.
Yep.
So I think that NVIDIA, again, we only saw three cards, 3090, 3080, 3070. You could expect at least you would think there would be a 3060 for the lower end. And are we going to do that separation between RTX and GTX still? Because we saw the 1660s.
Yeah.
There's like the two, you know, I don't think.
Just I hope not. Of,
how much is the 3070?
The 3070 was 500, wasn't it?
499 or wasn't it 399?
No.
No?
Okay. Now I got to go back and look.
You got to go back and look. That's Adriano says, do you think the 3080 will be enough to top 1440p 144 FPS in every game? I would say it would depend on the game. I would say it's highly likely that it should in a lot of games, but there's always going to be that game that kind of crushes every system. But I think that it's going to be, I think we'll see a lot of high frame rate. We already saw a bunch this past 2 weeks, like 360 hertz monitors come out. They're only coming out because we're going to have hardware that's going to push them, right? And I think we'll see 4K become more used as a gaming resolution just for the fact that we'll have hardware that's going to push it. So I wouldn't say every game, but I would say a lot of them, you'll be able to push that. Did you get
400 or I'm sorry, 500 for the 3070, 700 for the 3080.
So yeah. If we had a 3060, it would be in the $400 range.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And right now the $400, the 5700 XT right now. Mm-hmm. So you go below, you are going to have an offering below that. You are going to have an offering at 300 and even at 200.
$250.
So what is that going to look like for NVIDIA? Is that going to be a, what is
it? Can they afford to do an RTX at that level?
I don't think so. And is it going to be like a 1750 or whatever?
Probably.
You know, 1660. So like, what is that going to look like? This is, you know, we're really excited for these high-end cards, but their bread and butter are the less expensive cards because more people can afford them.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about down the line. I don't think we'll see it just right yet. I think they're really focused on those three cards. Possibly I could see them throwing in a 3060 like January, February-ish, maybe. Maybe right before Christmas. Maybe, I don't know. But if you do buy a 3000 series card, you got a pretty awesome game package with it. You are going to get Watch Dogs Legion and a 1 year subscription to GeForce Now. So GeForce Now is their game streaming service. Basically, it allows you to play games, or basically a server is doing the power for your games and then you stream that game to whatever. It's great if you're traveling and you want to get some gaming in and you have a fast internet connection. It's great if you just like you're at work and you don't have a gaming PC at work, but then you can go ahead and play those games. You can play it on a phone. You can do a lot of stuff with it. Now, this is not like what's the Xbox one called?
Game Pass.
Yeah. So Game Pass actually comes with games. This one, you have to provide your own games, but you are getting it free for a year. And it's you don't have the limitation of the free account because the free account is only like, I don't know what, I think it's like an hour a day or something like that. So you have,
I had to pull it up here. I was trying to see what we got here,
but you should have unlimited gameplay, which is awesome too for a year.
Yeah. Free. You get hour long sessions.
Yeah. So that's a pretty cool bundle. And I think that they can do that now. Like they have that service and they can just like add that on to whatever else they're offering. And it's just like, just something else that they can go ahead and do. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And EVGA tweeted out a picture of their RTX 3070 XC3 graphics card. You can see it right here. It uses 2 8-pin. It's a 2.2 slot card. It looks kind of like their same design. It looks much better than the 3080 that they showed or whatever.
Scroll down. It's got some other, right? Is that it?
This is it, yeah.
So I think it looks better than that. What, the 3080 that they
I think
were showing off.
I thought we did have a picture of that 3080. But yeah.
We did last week. I didn't like
it. Yeah. 2 8-pin, which is fine for me for the, you know, for that. I don't think. Do you think we'll see any AIB use that 12 pin?
No.
You think it's like, you think NVIDIA would charge companies to use that? And maybe that's why they're not doing it. I think
they would charge for it. That to me seems a little odd. Or like, why would they charge extra, like just to use that? Because they're gonna, everybody's gonna know what those pinouts are, right? No, maybe next round of video cards.
Do you think 4000 series? Do you think that the Founders Edition cooling is gonna be as good as they say it's gonna be? Like, do you actually think it's gonna be better than like a Strix or like an Auris card or like a hot, you know, like any of these cards?
I don't know, because the flow through on the back fan, right? Because it pushes air straight through the whole, you know, thickness of that card. Whereas with, you know, even this EVGA card, for example, you got there, like you're blowing air across those fins and then it's hitting up against that PCB and has to go somewhere. And that, you know, just routing that heat and making all those bends and just turning that heat and that airflow around. I really do think that fan that's more towards the back is going to push air through a lot better. And
as long as it's in a traditional case, that's right. The catch. That's the big catch. Dave said, will the Founders Edition come with adapters? Yes, it will. Yeah, you will eventually see power supplies come with that connection, but they will have adapters, just like when PCI Express Power came out, you had to buy those adapters that connected the Molex. That's how old I am.
No, I've got some in my desk. I was just like organizing stuff this weekend. I was like, oh, I don't need these, but I'm going to keep them.
Yeah, so you will have adapters in the box with Founders Editions. But yeah, that is...
There's a Hydro-X card there too, wasn't there? Or not Hydro-X, I'm sorry. What's their... What's their liquid cooling?
I forget what this is called. But in any case, it's just like all the companies you're going to see offer... This is like a real big deal for GeForce partners. One, because they're like, this is the card that everybody wants. Two is because that I feel like they've had a lot of time to work on all their designs. I know like Asus had a whole thing on their Strix card and how it's different from the previous generation. And they've had a lot of time to work on these. So I'm really excited for all these cards. And they just look.
Hydro Copper is the name of that.
Yeah, Hydro Copper, yeah. They just look awesome. So our last little piece of news is something that I want that I can't get. Galax or Galaxy in some parts of the world. They unveiled their PCI Express 4.0 Hall of Fame Extreme SSD. This thing is sexy.
It looks so cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks awesome.
Yeah. This is like just an awesome looking card. Or not card. What? It's not a card. It's a drive. But yeah. So this is
7,000.
Yeah.
And this is. Oh, my gosh.
This is a second gen Gen 4 drive. So first gen, we saw around 5,000 megabytes a second, give or take a little bit. This is second gen, so it's based on the Phison PS5018-E18 controller. So it will have read and write speeds of 7,000 megabytes a second and 6,850 megabytes a second for the write. So just super fast.
That's awesome.
Of course, being a Hall of Fame, it is an all-white PCB, and then it has this cool mirror kind of heat sink top to it.
Yeah, like a glass mirror. Love it.
Has the Hall of Fame logo in it. I can't wait to see these on builds that have, of course, like the Hall of Fame card and the Galax motherboard as well, or white motherboard. That's just going to look awesome.
What if you can flip that logo around depending on the orientation of the
It looks like
some boards are oriented different,
like hopefully based on, you can take this, you know, you can see the screws there. So I would just be so worried about scratching that, just like, if you know, like you just scratch that chrome just a little bit, it messes up the whole look. But no word on pricing. It will be available in 1, 2, and 4 terabyte versions. I want one of these so bad.
Why do you think you won't be able to get one?
Because they don't sell this stuff here.
I mean, they're harder to get. You can still get it.
Yeah, you'd have to import
it. That's just a lot more work.
Yeah. I did hear rumors that Galax or Galaxy will be might be
trying opening, to get into this market.
Yeah, into the US. So that would be exciting. Because then we could probably get some stuff to review. So yeah, guys, that is it for our news this week. We talk about what we have coming up next week on the site. I'll be taking a look at a B550 motherboard from ASRock. It is their B550 Tai Chi. I have to say that I've reviewed a lot of Tai Chi boards in my time. And I have to say, this is one of the best looking ones. It looks amazing. And
I'm impressed. Like, it's a B550 board, so it's not your, you know, your flagship chipset, but this board looks like a flagship board, which is nice to have, right? You always feel bad sometimes, like, buying that lower level board and just being like, oh, it doesn't look like a great board either. This looks awesome.
Yeah, it's and they've changed the color a little bit. Like, this is sort of like an off gold. Mm-hmm. It looks so good in person, or like
a bronze
color. Or copper. They changed the clockwork stuff a little bit too. It kind of actually looks like a full gear. It'd be so cool if that like actually did spin. That'd be amazing. Yeah. But yeah, it's an awesome motherboard. So I will have that for you guys to review. And then you'll be taking a look at a home Wi-Fi system, which I think a lot of people could use. Yeah. I know when I moved from my apartment to the townhouse that we lived in, I definitely needed one of these because there were certain areas where like your Wi-Fi coverage were just like, I had a pretty nice router at the time, and like my Wi-Fi coverage would just like go to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a mesh system. What, it was crazy when I first took it out of the box, like the main base station is so light. I was like, is this thing empty or is this just a plastic shell? But no. Just a mesh piece, you know, comes with an app, obviously, to manage things like most, I don't want to call this a smart home system, but so many wireless devices now come with an app that you manage them with, as opposed to, you know, logging into their IP address and adjust them that way. But yeah, we'll be taking a look at that.
Yeah.
Get your wireless coverage all over the house.
Do you need it with all these devices these days?
Oh my gosh, like, it's crazy.
I was like, so I have the TP-Link Deco one, and just like all the stuff that I have connected, like all my smart light bulbs, then I have like, you know, my Fire TV sticks, and then my computers and phones and tablets. It's like you have like 30 devices connected.
Can you imagine having that many devices like on an old like 802.11b access point? That thing would crap.
You'd blow it up.
Yeah, oh yeah, it'd be so hot, or just nothing would work because everything's trying to talk to it. Yeah, that'd be a good experiment, actually.
Yeah, to see if you could.
I've got some old APs and routers. Like, see what you can do with.
Yeah, you should. You should try that.
Yeah, I don't think the family would enjoy that, but.
Like, why? Why? Like, you get it's so funny. I always talk about this. It's like we get so used to things loading so fast. So if you're if you are around our age, you know, you grew up with like dial up, and you grew up with like pages loading, like
images, like they'll load a real crappy version and then it gets a little better and then a little better. Yeah.
Or like waiting for things to download, like, oh, I got to wait, you know, download a song. It took like an hour or whatever, you know. So it's like now if it's not fast, it's just not, you're done. You have like no patience for it.
I'll just like close it. I'm like, nope, I'm done with this. I'm not waiting.
Yeah, exactly. But our last product that we will have for you guys this upcoming week is the T-Force Spark, which is in a USB 3.2 flash drive that has RGB, which is pretty cool. So it is USB 3.2 Gen 1, which still means it's going to be pretty fast. And it has some RGB lighting, which is pretty cool. And I don't see this enough on flash drives. I still like the ones where you can kind of like click up. Like this is the ones where you can just like, and you know,
them as long as they're sturdy. Like I feel like so many of them, you click them, but then you try and push it in with the body and it like slides back into the body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I agree.
But one that protects the connector, which I like, and it's just cool to go. It's like a, it's like
the, switchblade.
Remember the Switchblade, like the phone, the phone from the Matrix, where it was like,
Oh yeah.
So, but yeah, so Paul will be taking a look at that one. And then Shinny said, "See how quickly it can catch fire." Yeah, Ryan, you should try that. You should try that experiment.
Yeah, let me get out my. What is it? What was it? The I used to know the name of the old Linksys.
Yeah, the Linksys. Yeah. Everybody had the Linksys. That was the one, yeah.
WRT-54G.
Yeah, yeah. I had one of those. I think everybody had one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so this brings us close to the end here to the podcast. We did talk a little bit at the beginning about if you did anything tech related.
I mean, I like I said at the beginning, I hooked up that monitor and those lights. Yeah, you could like barely see them right here, kind of like doing some RGB stuff in the reflection.
Oh god, he's gonna disconnect it. Go ahead, show us.
No, no. Well, all right, we'll give it a shot. We'll see how this goes.
He's doing it live, guys.
We're doing it live. All right. There we go. So let's
there it is.
My.
So what are you gonna use that for? Like that screen?
I don't know. Well, it hooks up to that system down below it, right?
Okay.
Which is not on, obviously, but yeah, I actually redid my office. Nice. So I moved that desk around a little bit and
we could see all your key lights, which we also reviewed.
Yeah.
You can see
got one of them there.
You have so many more screens than I do as well.
Well, I don't have this huge wire. Oh man, I'm running into my other key light that's right above this.
It is so hard. So like when you have these cameras set up, it's literally so hard to like not move stuff around, because like if I touch that, it would like hit the monitor and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I of course worked on upgrading StreamYard so we can do some more, you know, we can like change our backgrounds and do all that kind of fun stuff. I want to do some other cool stuff with the stream, but that's pretty much all I've done, I think.
I liked the video at the beginning. That was cool.
Yeah, we yeah.
So can you like can you put those in like at any point? Like you can play that video
so
right now.
Yeah, so I could. Yeah, so
it's gonna mute us though, right?
Yeah, it will mute us, but I'll go ahead. I'll play like 2 seconds of it. So I can do kind of cool stuff like that, and I don't know if there's a limit, like you know, with any type of online thing, like that's saved in StreamYard. So I don't know if I can put like.
Oh, so you upload that video to StreamYard so that you can pull it in. It's not like pushing it up and distributing.
Yeah.
The file's already up there. Okay.
Yeah, it's already up there. We can do like logos, like the Think Computers logo I just put up there. You can't pick where that logo goes. It can only go right there, which is weird. And there's like other overlays and things like that. But I was messing with that. It was a lot of fun. I wasn't sure if we were going to use StreamYard, but we've been using it. There are some other services, but I think this one works really well. And I think, like I said, there was a decent amount of people in here this week. Everybody from Facebook, Periscope, and of course, YouTube, as always. But I think, what is it? It's Wednesday night. So that means we'll be gaming. So, you know, you go to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and that will take you to our Twitch page. We'll be playing some Apex Legends. I actually played yesterday for like 10 minutes and I got a win, and I was like, why doesn't this happen when I play with Ryan? And then I was like, oh yeah, it's Ryan.
We get a win every week.
We do. I would say we get one win a week. I believe Shinny will be joining us on there as well. So definitely go over there again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We would love to stream our gaming to Facebook and everything like that, but again, because we are a Twitch affiliate, we can't do that. But just going over to Twitch, Ryan will have the stream up here in a second, and we'll have a lot of fun gaming. Now again, guys, if you came in late or you want to listen to the audio or you want to rewatch the stream, of course you can rewatch the stream on Facebook and on YouTube. If you want to listen to the audio, it's just Think Computers, all one word, in your favorite podcasting app or software. So that is going to be it for us this week, and we will catch everyone.